السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In the Tashahud, Tawz, and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih V, Ayyadullah Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz, stated, while mentioning the sacrifices of the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, their status, and the favours which Allah the Exalted bestowed upon them, the Promised Messiah ﷺ said on one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sacrificed all of his belongings in the way of God the Exalted, and instead placed a blanket on himself. However, what did Allah the Exalted grant him in exchange? He made him the king of the whole of Arabia. Likewise, he revived Islam once again at his hands, conquered those in Arabia who rebelled against the state and left their faith. He then bestowed upon him those blessings, the likes of which could never have been imagined. In short, the honesty, purity, loyalty, sincerity, and kindness of these people is an example for every Muslim. The life of the Sahaba, i.e. the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, was such that a similar example cannot be found in the life of any of the Prophets. In essence, whilst abandoning one's personal desires and goals, until man does not come to the threshold of God the Exalted, one cannot achieve anything. Rather, they cause harm to themselves. However, once they abandon all their selfish desires and aims, and come to the threshold of God the Exalted, empty-handed and with pure hearts, then Allah grants them and supports them. However, this is a prerequisite that man becomes ready to die and endure all forms of humiliation and even death. Observe, this world will eventually come to an end, and no person will live forever. However, those who abandon it, i.e. worldly pursuits, for the sake of God, receive its pleasures. For this reason, God Almighty makes His beloved ones admired and accepted in this world. It is the same popularity for which the worldly people undertake thousands of efforts so that they may be granted a certain title or an honorable position or a chair at court or a similar place, or that he may be counted amongst those who hold a certain rank. In short, all the worldly honors are bestowed upon them. every heart is infused with the respect and acceptance of those who are prepared to abandon everything for the sake of Allah the Exalted. Not only do they become prepared to do so, but they indeed put this into practice. To sum up, those who abandon everything for the sake of God the Exalted are bestowed everything. On a different occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said the following words while sitting in a gathering. One who loses a little for a worldly government, he is rewarded for it. In one's day-to-day worldly affairs, we see that if an individual gives them something or performs a service for them, they will be rewarded for it. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, one who loses for the sake of God, would he then not be rewarded? He further states, such people do not die until they have received their reward from God Almighty manyfold as compared to what they sacrificed in His way. God the Exalted does not remain indebted to anyone. However, it is unfortunate that there are only a few who believe in these things and few who comprehend the reality behind them. We find the remarkable examples of those who exhibited the aforementioned honesty and purity, sincerity and love, that one is marveled. The spiritual power of the Holy Prophet ﷺ channeled their desires. At first, they were inclined towards something else, which he then turned towards something completely different, namely, from the worldly pursuits to the divine. Moreover, the standard of their love and inclinations reached their zenith. They reached such heights, the like of which was not found previously in the world. Observe how eloquently the promised Messiah alayhi salam has presented the example of their excellences and magnificence. He stated that this standard of their love and sacrifice is not found even in the life of previous prophets. Furthermore, as far as the followers of these previous prophets are concerned, their grandeur and state was extremely inferior in comparison to that of the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. These companions were absolutely pure from all of their personal desires. They purified their hearts, devoted themselves to God, and lived their lives merely for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of God the Exalted. Furthermore, when this state is created, God the Exalted also showers His blessings, and He does so without any boundaries, and we witness these aspects in the lives of the companions. I will present the incidents of some companions as to how they devoted themselves to God the Exalted. And what examples they demonstrated. Hazrat Abbad bin Bashr was a companion from among the Ansar. He was martyred in the prime of his youth at the age of approximately 35. Narrating an incident in relation to his worship and the recitation of the Holy Quran, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, one night the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up for the Tahajjud prayer and heard the Holy Quran being recited in the mosque. The Holy Prophet ﷺ used to wake up very early for the Tahajjud prayer. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, is this the voice of Abbad? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha replied, it seems to be his voice. Upon this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ prayed for him, saying, O Allah, have mercy on Abbad. How fortunate were these people who spent their nights in worship and recitation of the Holy Quran. which resulted in them becoming the immediate recipients of the prayers of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Furthermore, they awoke at night, beseeching Allah the Exalted for His pleasure and mercy. Due to one of his dreams, Hazrat Abbad was certain that he would attain the status of martyrdom. Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu relates, Hazrat Abbad once said to me, I saw in a dream that the sky has been rent asunder and that I entered it, after which it closed again and returned to its original form. Due to this dream, he used to say that he is certain that Allah the Exalted will grant him the status of martyrdom. This dream of his was fulfilled during the Battle of Yamama. He was martyred whilst fighting with great courage. Nevertheless, his army, which comprised of all the Ansar, defeated the opponents he was fighting against. He was martyred, however, they defeated the enemy. Hazrat Abu Sayyid radiallahu anhu says that following the battle, his face was unrecognizable due to the sword wounds to his face. His body was only recognized due to a certain mark on his body. Then, history informs us about another companion by the name Haram bin Malhan. This youth was at the forefront of teaching the Holy Quran to the youth and others, as well as serving the Ashab-e-Sufa. A delegation from Bani Amir requested the Holy Prophet ﷺ to send them some people in order to preach to them the message of Islam, so that they may also become familiar with Islam, and so that their people may also enter the fold of Islam. Their intentions were evil even at the time they made this request. As these people were not trustworthy, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that I fear that your people might cause harm to the people I will send. Upon this, their leader, who came and listened to the Holy Prophet ﷺ's words but did not accept Islam, said, I take responsibility of this, and everyone will be under my protection. Subsequently, the Holy Prophet ﷺ sent a delegation to Bani Amir. Haram bin Malhan was appointed as the leader. When this delegation reached there, Hazrat Haram bin Malhan became suspicious that there must be something wrong. Their conduct seemed suspicious, and it could be seen from a distance that the intention of these people was not positive. Hence he said to his companions that we should take some precautionary measures and that everyone should not stand here together. The reason for this was that if they decided to encircle all of them, they could cause them harm in a single instant. Therefore, you should all stay here and I will go with one person to them. If they treat us appropriately, you can come as well. However, if they cause us harm, then you may decide, according to the circumstances, whatever they may be, whether to return, fight them, or to remain there. When Haram bin Malhan and his companion approached these people, the leader of Bani Amr indicated to a person who attacked Haram bin Malhan from behind with a spear. A fountain of blood gushed forth from his neck. He rubbed this blood on his hands and said, By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded. By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded. After this, the other companion was also martyred, following which they attacked the remaining 70 people. and martyred all of them except one or two who remained safe. When these people were being brutally killed, after having been deceived, they prayed, "O Allah, accept these sacrifices of ours, and inform the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this state of ours, as there are no means of doing so here." Hence, Hazrat Gabriel conveyed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the salam, i.e. salutation of peace, of these companions, and informed him of their situation and the martyrdoms. The Holy Prophet ﷺ informed his companions that all of them have been martyred. As I mentioned, there were 70 companions. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was greatly grieved by their martyrdoms. He prayed against these tribes for 30 days, saying, "May Allah personally seize and punish those who are guilty of this brutality." The Holy Prophet ﷺ declared these deaths to be extremely magnificent martyrdoms. Mentioning this love, affection, and magnificent sacrifices for the sake of religion, the Promised Messiah ﷺ states on one occasion, "Love is something which enables a person to do anything. A person who falls in love with another, what does he not do for the sake of his beloved?" Then he gave an example of worldly people by saying, "A woman fell in love with someone. They would drag her away, inflict all sorts of pain upon her, and beat her. However, she would say that I find pleasure in all of this." If pleasure can be attained in tolerating difficulties and hardships for false worldly love, which manifests itself in the form of disobedience to God and wickedness, as is the state of worldly people, the Promised Messiah says, "What great pleasure will a person who is a sincere lover of God the Exalted and who desires to submit himself at the divine threshold acquire during difficulties and hardships?" The Promised Messiah states, "Observe the state of the esteemed companions, may Allah be pleased with them all. What atrocities were meted out to them in Makkah? Some of them were captured and were tortured and punished in various forms. Men were certainly made a target of this. However, some Muslim women were also tortured in such a manner that the mere thought of which makes the body quiver and tremble. If they had joined the people of Makkah, they would seemingly have been treated with great respect because they were part of the same tribe. However, what enabled them to remain firmly established upon the truth, even during the storm of difficulties and hardships? It was that very delight and the fountain of happiness which gushed forth from their chests due to the love for the truth." Whilst narrating another incident as an example, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "It is recorded about a companion whose hands were severed. When this happened, the companion said, 'I performed the ablution.' Eventually, his head was decapitated, and he passed away, saying, 'I prostrate before Allah.' And at the time of his death, he prayed, 'O Allah, inform the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about my situation.' The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina at that time. Angel Gabriel offered his greetings of peace to the Prophet. The Prophet ﷺ responded, 'Peace be upon you,' and was notified about this incident." The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, "Hence, after obtaining the pleasure of being in the company of God the Exalted, one readily accepts being trampled to death like an insect. Just like the companions who stated, 'I have attained the Lord of the Kaaba,' meaning that I have reached the highest point of love." He says, "The most excruciating afflictions are made easy for a believer to experience. The truth is that it is a sign of a true believer that they are ever ready to be slain. Similarly, if a person is asked to convert to Christianity or prepare to be killed, then at that time they should seek what their conscience tells them to do, whether they will accept death or prefer converting to Christianity. If they give preference to being put to death, then they are true believers, otherwise they are disbelievers. Hence, those believers who experience such hardships also experience a form of hidden delight. Just think about this. If there was no delight in experiencing such trials, then how can the prophets, peace be upon them, go through such hardships for such a long time? The examples about the companions that have been mentioned here show that the spiritual power of the Holy Prophet ﷺ had infused such a spirit in them that even on the brink of death, they would readily profess, "We swear by the Lord of the Kaaba that we have succeeded, that we have attained God." However, these people would perform virtues. When they were wronged, they would offer sacrifices as a response, instead of transgressing like some groups of this day and age who say that they shall enter paradise after being martyred. Those companions were not like this. Rather, they were the type of people who fought against cruelty. They were not those who would spread transgression. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr, who was a companion from amongst the Ansar, it has been mentioned about him that when he was leaving for the Battle of Uhud, he said, "I will be the first one to achieve martyrdom." Perhaps he had seen a dream, or Allah the Almighty had informed him about this. He said to his son, "Take care of your sisters after my demise." He had daughters. He also said, "And I have taken a loan from a Jewish man. Pay him back from my date gardens when you receive the earnings." This was the level of their love for Allah, righteousness, chastity, and the standard of offering the due rights of others. This companion was going to war, but he was not worried for his life. Rather, he was least concerned about it. Instead, it delighted him to know that he will be blessed with martyrdom before others. He had no fear about his young daughters, in that he has to fulfill their due rights. Instead, he had faith in Allah, and after putting his trust in him, he advised his son that you will now become the head of this household and fulfill these obligations and also care for your sisters. He was also concerned about paying off his debt that he had taken from a Jewish person. He said, "I do not expect that you should pay this off from your own pocket. Rather, it will be paid off from the profit gained from our date gardens. I am not putting any financial burden on you. I am simply informing you about this obligation. I am informing you about an integral Islamic commandment, which is to pay off this debt. You will inherit my property only after paying off this debt. This is the first thing that has to be implemented." While stating how Allah the Almighty blessed the martyrdom and sacrifice of Hazrat Abdullah, it is narrated that when the Holy Prophet ﷺ saw the condition of Hazrat Abdullah's son, he expressed condolences and said, "I shall share something to cheer you up." He said, "After your father's martyrdom, Allah the Almighty made your father sit in front of him and said, 'I will grant whatever you ask of me.'" Hazrat Abdullah responded, "O my Lord, I was unable to fulfill my due obligations. How can I ask more from you?" He held high standards of sacrifice and worship, yet his response was that he has not fulfilled his obligation towards his due rights. "I do not have the words to express my wishes. It is all due to your mercy and grace." Then he stated, "Since you have asked, my Lord, my only desire is that you make me go back to the world, so I can fight the enemy alongside your messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I return to you once again as a martyr." Allah the Almighty stated, "I have decreed that those who pass away once are not returned to the world again. So this desire cannot be fulfilled, but you will inevitably get the status of a martyr regardless." Similarly, regarding the passion to offer sacrifice and martyrdom of Hazrat Amr bin Jamu, it is stated that he would walk with a limp due to a leg injury. He was in a lot of discomfort. His sons did not let him partake in the Battle of Badr due to this handicap. When the disbelievers marched to fight in the Battle of Uhud, he said to his sons, "You can do whatever you like, but I will not listen to you, and I will most definitely take part in this battle." Therefore, he met the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and requested, "My sons, keep me from partaking in the battle due to an issue with my leg. However, I would like to join you in doing this jihad." And he stated, "By God, I wish that Allah the Almighty fulfills my heartfelt desires and grants me martyrdom." I will enter heaven due to my injured leg. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Jihad is not obligatory for you due to this handicap. However, if this is your wish, then you may join." And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed his sons to let their father take part in the battle. Therefore, Hazrat Amr took part in the battle and prayed continuously, saying, "O Allah, grant me martyrdom, and do not make me return to my house unsuccessful in this task." His desire was surely fulfilled, and he was martyred in the battlefield of Uhud. Hence, these companions had advanced in faith and conviction. Take the example of any companion. They were ever ready to offer their lives with sincerity and loyalty. Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was a companion from amongst the Ansar and was famed for his archery. He displayed great skill of archery during the Battle of Badr. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that, "Place arrows in front of Abu Talha," as he would use arrows quickly and would also hit the intended targets. He also had the opportunity to shield the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Battle of Uhud. Hazrat Talha kept his hand in front of the Holy Prophet's face. This was the Ansari companion Abu Talha. He was blessed with the opportunity to stand in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and demonstrate bravery and courage. He would prefer to stand in the most dangerous locations during the battle without any kind of fear or trepidation. So that he could fight the enemies of Islam who sought to annihilate it and in order to establish peace and security in the world. As I mentioned, they did not take part in wars in order to commit cruelties. Rather, when the enemy attacked, they simply did not show cowardice and instead showed the quality of courage and valor. They spent all their faculties in order to attain the pleasure of God Almighty. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Whatever has been decreed by God is always destined to take place, and in relation to this, the material means is of no significance. God Almighty states, "And whosoever strives in the cause of God will find an abundant place of refuge." One who acts with pure intention, God Almighty is then with him. In fact, even if one is suffering from an ailment, God Almighty alleviates it. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "Look at the example of the companions. Their example is like that of all the prophets. God Almighty is pleased with actions, and they offered their lives to be sacrificed like goats. Their example is in similitude to the prophets, which has been in their practice since Adam, peace be upon him. This has been the way of the prophets since Adam, as is evident from our history of religions." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further continues, "However, the companions demonstrated this in a most lustrous manner. They did not just reveal its importance in terms of imparting its knowledge, but illumined it by practically demonstrating it as well, and showed what sincerity and loyalty really means." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "Don't even ask about the state of Jesus. No one betrayed Moses, but Jesus was betrayed by his disciples for just 30 rupees. It is evident from the Holy Quran that the disciples entertained doubt about Jesus. Hence, this is why they asked for a table spread with food from heaven, so that they could know if he has spoken the truth, and thus distinguish whether he is true or false. Therefore, from this it seems that prior to the table spread with food being sent down, they were not certain. Moreover, there is no parallel to be found in the manner in which they, i.e. the companions, lived a life filled with such extreme anguish. The companions were indeed a truly unique group of individuals who are worthy of admiration and emulation. Their hearts were filled with complete certainty. When one is full of conviction, then initially he first wishes to spend his wealth, and when this desire grows, then such a person is even ready to offer his life. This conviction was ever increasing in them due to the spiritual power of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the day-to-day dealings of the companions were filled with such wondrous examples of their love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would always be in search for an opportunity whereby they could express their love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr, it is said that even during normal days, he would be searching for the opportunity where he could express his love and loyalty for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned in one of the narrations that once he sent something sweet that had been cooked in his home through his son, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. When his son returned, he inquired whether the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said anything. Hazrat Jabir replied that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Jabir, have you bought meat?" Upon hearing this, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr said, "My master wished for meat, and then immediately slaughtered one of his goats in his house, and then sent the cooked meat to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for his entire family for this gesture. The companions also experienced many difficulties in preaching to their close relatives. At times, difficulties arose if the son had accepted Islam whilst the father did not, or if a man or a woman accepted Islam but were weaker in comparison to their more stronger relatives, and they would cause them difficulty or express their displeasure. Hazrat Amr bin Jamul's son performed the bayt before him. His father was a mushrik, i.e. an idolater, and when he had exhausted all means in his efforts to preach to him, his son threw his father's idol, which he had adorned in his house, in a pit of waste. Amr bin Jamu searched for the idol and brought it back home and very angrily said, "If I find out who is responsible for this, I will punish them severely." The next day, his son did the exact same thing with the idol, and his father found it again in some pit. Eventually, Amr, i.e. his father, cleaned and adorned the idol, and then placed his sword next to it, and said, "I do not know who is committing these acts against you, but I am now placing this sword next to you, and now you can protect yourself." The next day he saw that the idol had vanished. When he set out to find it, he discovered that it was tied around the neck of a dead dog, lying in a pile of rubbish. Amr then thought to himself that the idol which he deemed to be God, despite having a sword nearby, it did not even have the strength to defend itself. How will it then defend him? He then addressed the idol and said, "Were you the true God, you would not have been hung around the neck of a dog. Thus, I proclaim to the lofty and exalted God Almighty, the Provider and Just." He then says, "From among the Ansar, the last person to accept Islam was Amr bin Jamu." The status and rank of the companions can be gauged from the love the Holy Prophet ﷺ had for his companions. Furthermore, the bond the companions had with God Almighty was due to the spiritual power of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. On occasions, God Almighty would bless the companions without any medium, or then through the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b also had a special relationship with God Almighty. It is written in Bukhari that on one occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to him, "God Almighty has ordered me to recite the Quran to you." The Holy Prophet ﷺ is saying to his companion that God Almighty has instructed him to recite the Quran to him. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b was astonished by this and asked, "Has God Almighty mentioned me by name? Has the Lord and Master of the Universe mentioned me by name and asked to recite the Quran to me?" The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, "Yes, he has mentioned you by name." Upon hearing this, Ubay bin Ka'b became overwhelmed with emotions and began to cry. Nevertheless, the Holy Prophet ﷺ recited the surah Lam Yakunil Ladina Kafaru, i.e. Surah Bayyina. Sometime later, when someone asked Ubay bin Ka'b, "On hearing this, you would have felt overjoyed." He replied, "If God Almighty has stated for one to be delighted with his blessings and mercy, then why would I not have been overjoyed?" Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b was well versed in the Holy Quran. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ asked him, and I have narrated this incident on a previous sermon 2 or 3 weeks ago. He asked, "Which verse of the Quran should be declared to be the greatest verse?" Initially, he replied by saying that God and His Messenger ﷺ know best. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ insisted, he said, "Ayatul Kursi is one that can be declared to be one of the greatest verses." I also related an incident regarding Ayatul Kursi. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was pleased to hear this and said, "O Ubay, may Allah bless your level of knowledge. Undoubtedly, Ayatul Kursi is a great verse of the Quran." In another narration, it is mentioned that the year the Holy Prophet ﷺ passed away, he completed one reading of the Holy Quran with Ubay bin Ka'b. With the permission of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he would teach the people the knowledge of the Quran as well as its exegesis. These were the accounts of the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who progressed to such an extent that they reached the highest rank. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Since progress takes place gradually over time, in the same manner the companions also advanced gradually." He continues by saying, "He, i.e. the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wished to see his companions reach their ultimate goal. However, they were destined to reach their zenith at their appointed time, i.e. it takes place gradually. Thus the companions received blessings the likes of which was not witnessed before them, and they saw what had never been witnessed before." With regards to the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, "If one ponders about the lives of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one would discover that they were simple people. Just like a vessel becomes clean after polishing, their hearts were the same in that they were filled with divine light and were free from the filth of carnal passions. In essence, they were the true embodiment of the statement, 'Qad aflaha man zakkaha,' i.e. he indeed truly prospers who purifies it." The promised Messiah alayhi salam then says, "The companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated such truthfulness that they shunned all forms of worship of idols and creation, i.e. worshipping people. Over praising someone or begging from an individual also equates to worshipping them." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "They not only shunned all worship of people, rather they obliterated any desire to gain material possessions, and instead they began to see God Almighty. They were so perfectly absorbed in the way of God Almighty that it was as if every single one of them was Abraham, peace be upon him." He further states, "The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like a body, and the companions were the limbs." May Allah the Almighty enable us to truly understand the status of the companions, and whilst acting on their example, may Allah enable us to increase in our loyalty and sincerity.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر